Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah, chapter 4. We are going to read verses 1 through 8 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their own head, and greet them with prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for all that you do for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you take control of our minds today? Would you allow the preaching of the Word of God to permeate past our flesh? Would you allow it to permeate even past our own mind and move it deeply into our hearts and allow you to do the work today? Would you teach us what you have for us? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in the book of Nehemiah, if you will allow me to give not a long introduction, but I think an introduction that will twofold help you, one, understand the story, and two, help you understand life. If you'll give me a hearing today, and I think we're going to go a direction far different than you expect, but a truth today that will revolutionize your life. And I'm not talking just about your spiritual life. I'm talking about your relationship with your family. I'm talking about your relationships at work. Every area of life will be affected by the truth today. The Jews here in the book of Nehemiah have been through 70 years of bondage. Something you have to realize, the Jews had disobeyed God for almost 500 years. God for 490 years had been saying, look, either change your ways, you get right, or I'm going to judge you, I'm going to punish you. God gave them 490 years to get things right. They did not. And he said, okay, punishment's come. They, for 70 years, were in bondage, started off with Babylon and went through several other different conquering nations. But they go back finally to Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem. Nehemiah was commissioned by God to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall that surrounded the city of Jerusalem so that they could go back and rebuild the city. Something you need to realize is this. The Bible says that Jerusalem was so devastated 70 years before that there was not one stone left upon another that was built. Say, well, that's pretty rough. Then it had been sitting there for 70 years doing nothing. That would be like going into places in Eastern Europe and just this year going in and rebuilding after World War II. Can you imagine having left a total city that was demolished, lie waste for 70 years, and then go back and build a wall around it? Now, I say that to say this. God wanted his people back home. They had been taken out. They had been judged. They had been oppressed. They had been conquered. And now they're going back to Israel. They're going back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is leading a bunch of, and I'm going to use the word here, and it's not exact, but lead a bunch of slaves out of bondage to go rebuild this wall. There were two men, Sanballat and Tobiah, from the area of Ammon. Now, for those of you that understand modern history, Ammon is a place that you would know today. It's called Amman, Jordan. It is where the Jordanians live, in the country of Jordan. By the way, the Jordanians still hate the Jews. Muslims hate the Jews. They are descendants of Ishmael. They feel because Ishmael was born before Isaac that they have rights to the Holy Land. That's not what God wanted. Abraham disobeyed God with Hagar. And the Muslim race was born not by God's choice, but by Abraham's choice. And because of that, we still have problems in the Middle East today. By the way, it's not a racial thing. It is a spiritual thing. Okay? Now, Sanballat and Tobiah were doing everything they could to stop the Jews from rebuilding this wall around Jerusalem because they did not want the Jews back in Israel. Now, listen to me very carefully. They were going to do everything within their power to stop them. The devil is the only real enemy to us all. Okay, let me say that again. The devil is the only real enemy we face. It's not another person. It's not somebody at work. It's not a government. It's not a spiritual group or a terror group. It is the devil. Now, let me say this. Because the devil is the real father of all evil and the only real enemy, can I tell you something? The devil's quite predictable. Do you know that the devil uses the same methods today as he has used for 6,000 years? I'm going to make a statement here. Every evil is founded by the devil. So every evil enemy will follow the devil's plan. If you were here last Sunday, I preached a sermon about fighting an enemy that you could not see. I used the illustration of our men who fought over in Iwo Jima. In a very moving, unbelievable way that is much like the spiritual battle. But listen to this very carefully. The enemy is quite predictable. The devil is quite predictable. Why do we not realize that the devil is using the same plan today as he has been using all along? The devil counts on our ignorance to not predict our enemy. Now, this is true about any spiritual enemy. This is true about any evil government. This is true about any evil, and I'm going to use the word evil marriage or evil relationship that breaks up. This is true about any evil work or business related relationship. This is true about any evil friendship that breaks up. These steps are exactly the same. Now, let me transition for just a moment. Our special forces that deal with evil governments, terrorism, that type of thing, have found out that God's word is true. What you don't realize is this: the United States government teaches our special forces five principles out of the book of Nehemiah to predict terrorists and evil governments. About a year and a half ago, I was talking to someone. I had written these principles down, speaking to someone that worked in the anti-terrorism and special forces of our military. That person said, "Brother Bush, do you know that they teach to our special forces from the book of Nehemiah the five things you have written down right there?" I said, "I did not know that." He said, "They do." He said, I've used these all over the world and all the countries I've been in and all my special ops that I've done. All five of these things are steps. He said, we're trained in these things. He said, I can give you the five steps. He said, matter of fact, I know the Bible well enough. No, I can give you the verses to go with it. I handed him a 3x5 card that had my 5 points on it, and they matched identically. By the way, listen to this very carefully. Our enemy is the devil. Our enemy is not a government. We're shooting at the wrong enemy. Our enemy is not somebody that doesn't like us. Shoot. If I fired at everybody that didn't like me, nobody would still be standing, including myself. I had a friend text me early this morning. They said, I'm praying for you, brother. I know there's people out there that hate you. And I'm thinking, why did you do this to me on Sunday morning? I texted back and said, yeah, sometimes I even hate me. Now, wait a minute. We all face an evil enemy. And by the way, that's why in the model prayer, Jesus taught his disciples, deliver us from evil. Wow. I, as your pastor, want to protect you. I really do. I long to protect you. Sometimes in protection, you have to teach people to foresee what's coming down the road so they don't get in trouble. Part of parenting is teaching your children not to make the mistakes you made. You're trying to perpetuate the fact that you made mistakes and keep them from those mistakes. As your pastor, I must do the same thing. I don't want you caught off guard. I don't want you destroyed. I don't want you discouraged. I don't want you devastated by evil that will come your way. And I could have told you how to predict what evil would do. And if I don't teach that, it will destroy you. Now, this is not directed at any one person except the devil. I have nobody, no situation, nothing in mind. There are three business leaders in our church right now. You are facing the very battles because I've talked with you that we're talking about right now. I know men in our church that have gone through this in the last year, year and a half in their work. I know people in this room that are dealing with it with extended family. I could go on and on and on. I have nobody in mind. I have everybody in mind. There's not one situation. It's all situations. It is a truth that we all need. It's kind of like what my wife's trying to do to get me from getting sick. It's called preventive maintenance, amen? A little bit of preventive medicine. She keeps trying to shove vitamin C down my throat, amen? There's only so much vitamin C this body can handle. And wait a minute, I'm doing it. And thus far, knock on wood, been able to get through it. But I try to prevent sickness from coming on. That's why after church, I wash my hands thoroughly. Say why? Because I have shaken hundreds of hands and I don't know where they've been, what's been coughed in them and everything else. Amen? That's why I'm very cautious about those things. I don't drink after somebody else. You know, I'm going to drink out of my bottle of water or my cup of coffee, not his. Say why? Because I can't afford to be sick right now. There's too many people and too many things that I've got to do and I've got to help. So I work preventatively by doing that. But listen very carefully. You will face a battle in the future. If you're not in one right now, hold on. It's coming. If you're in one, I can show you where it's going. If you just came through, hang on, you got another one coming. I have lived long enough to realize one thing. Life is a series of battles. If you're living right. Now, listen to me very carefully. Number one, when someone comes to help the one attacked by the enemy gets mad. Step number one is this. An evil enemy will attack someone, and then almost immediately somebody goes to help the one that's attacked. By the way, that's supposed to be us helping the one that's been attacked. But let me tell you, when you go to help that one who has been attacked, you make the enemy mad. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, if you've got your Bible open there. Nehemiah chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Wow. Wow. It grieved them that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Can I tell you something? Evil people hate. Evil people hate anybody who is helping the object of their hate. The enemy gets mad, they get irritated, they get vexed, they get annoyed that someone would help their target of evil. Grace Baptist Church will remain a hospital to those who have been attacked. I have been preaching full time for 25 years. I've been preaching for 33 years plus. Can I tell you something? I haven't changed in all these years, and I don't plan on changing now. Say why? Because that's God's plan. I sat at a table yesterday. Brother Jimmy Shade was with me. Man, two men that he works with. A father-son team. 27-year-old man who's fought stomach cancer and survived. 3 months later, found out he had brain cancer. He has 14 brain tumors. John Hopkins and Hershey, Pennsylvania, both told him to go home, spend as much time with your family as you can. You're dying. Nothing can be done. Whew. I sat at a table with Brother Jimmy and the young man's dad and stepmom yesterday. Brother Jimmy's been burdened, and he's bought the young man a Bible, and I've gotten him some materials to read and done what I could do to help. And he said, Brother Bush, doesn't look good. He said, I have no idea what to say. Would you go with me? I said, I'd be honored to. The four of us sat down at the table yesterday, and we began to talk. About 15 minutes after we started, I watched a daddy and a stepmama, tears dripping on the table, bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior yesterday. I told him, I can't say anything to help you right now with the situation. But I can tell you this, there's a place you can know where you're going for sure. I can tell you I know why it's happening, because we're all sinners. After they got saved, I said, look, I want you to know, my church is not a museum. This isn't where we go and look at things that are on display. I said, our church is a hospital where sick, hurting people go to get help and strength. I wish you could have seen the smiles across the face of these people that really don't understand Christianity, but it sure did make them understand it. Can I tell you something? Our church is a haven for people just like that, getting kicked by the devil. Can I tell you something? The devil's not real happy we did that. When the devil's mad, I'm glad. Folks, if the devil's happy with me, something's wrong. If the devil's happy with your life, something's wrong. If the devil's happy with our church, something is wrong. That's why this health and prosperity gospel is trash. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. False doctrine. False doctrine. Matter of fact, once you get saved and start living for God, you're probably going to face more problems. Hate to disappoint you. You say, why? Because now you have an evil enemy called the devil. And he doesn't like anybody who goes after those he has attacked. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? We ought to be looking for people who have been attacked and lift them up. I love sports. Say, what kind, Annie? I do. I love sports. I love competition. You say, who are you going for, the underdog? I like the one nobody else wants. You say, why? I just like pulling for the underdog. Unless it's Ohio State, Michigan, then it's Ohio State no matter what, all right? Or anybody else playing Notre Dame, okay? It's just the way it goes. Now, when Brigham Young plays Notre Dame, I hope that it's a tie. But anyway, now, wait a minute. I think we ought to pull for those that are down. What? Everybody listen to this statement real carefully here. Why is it that when somebody's sick spiritually, we want to crucify them? Well, that person's a sinner. No. Did you look in the mirror yourself? Yeah, but they've been bad. Should we tell everybody what you have done? I am so sick and tired of everybody playing God. We don't need to march people up here and tell everybody the wrong that they've done. That is as unjust, unchristian, and ungodly as it gets. My Bible says if those of you which are spiritual restore such an one. The enemy will get angry with you because you are helping the one they are fighting. I'm not afraid to say this. I will be a friend to my friends, and I will be a friend of truth no matter what. If you are a member of this church, guess what? You will be attacked. Can I tell you why? Because we're helping the fallen. Businesses will attack. The government may attack. Other, quote unquote, spiritual people may attack. Who gives a flip? Doesn't it bother you? Not one little bit. I've been hit harder by better. Don't worry about it. Folks, we ought to stand for the truth and restore people that are down and attacked. Hey, have you ever been down and needed somebody to lift you up? Just remember when they're down, even though they're down affected you, you ought to lift them up, not kick them. So, point number one, when someone comes to help the one attacked by the enemy gets mad. Number two, hang in there, sports fans. The enemy will try to shake the will of the helper. The enemy will try to shake the will of the one helping the one they attacked. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, same chapter we were in. Look at verse number 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, watch this, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Ooh, they stepped it up a little bit, didn't they? They were trying to stop, not just getting mad at, but they were now trying to stop the one who is helping the ones they attacked. By the way, often they do this by public humiliation. Let's take it into a work world. Some of you have done a good job, and somebody attacked someone else. You went, helped them. Now they're spreading it around where you work. How bad you are. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? You say, what is that? Public humiliation. That's the way the devil works. You say, why? Because they're hoping they can spread their gossip and open their big fat trap enough to cause you to back off. Mockery is often used. They'll try to mock you. Folks, I watch people's faces. I know when young people are just disinterested or when they're mocking. I can put up with disinterested. You mock, I'm coming unscrewed. Trust me. I can put up with a lot, but when I've got somebody out there mocking me as I preach or mocking the man of God while he preaches, it's over. They are trying to break the hope of the one they first attacked that their helper can make it through. If the devil attacks Brother Barnes and I go to help Brother Barnes and Brother Barnes sees that Wiley is attacking me for helping Brother Barnes, Brother Barnes begins to lose hope that I might not continue to help him. That's the devil's plan. That's how evil governments work. Did you notice in the news the last couple of weeks with Iran, Afghanistan? We're getting ready to pull the rest of our troops out of Afghanistan. What have they done? In the last week, two major bombings, over 40 people killed. Say why? Because they know the help is starting to leave and they're trying to break the will and the hope of those that remain. Everybody doing okay? Okay. They try to oppress your spirit. I find this interesting. Look at the last part of that verse. Will ye rebel against the king? Everybody look at me for just a second here. The enemy will often challenge your loyalty. Disloyal people will call loyalty disloyalty. Every time. Will ye rebel against the king? It is amazing to me how disloyal people want to challenge the loyalty of loyalty. It is unreal. Folks, you say, well, I'm just not used to my loyalty being challenged. That's why your loyalty is based in a person and not in a truth. My loyalty is on that book right there. Can I tell you something? I'm loyal to the right people because I'm loyal to the right truth. As people change, my loyalty does not change because my loyalty is in a truth. Their loyalty is to themselves. That's why their loyalty changes. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. They try to weaken and wear out the potential allies you may have as a helper. They'll make phone calls. Oh, you better not associate with so-and-so. They're disloyal and they're problems. Wait a minute, they're the ones that are problems. They write letters, evil letters. They'll send out letters all over the place. Believe me, in modern days, that means text, Facebook, and email. Amen? They do all they can to destroy any potential ally the helper may have and try to ruin their credibility. Number three. Everybody doing all right? Okay, everybody shout amen just for a second so I know you're awake. All right, there you go. Number three. If the helper is able to endure the initial attacks, the enemy gets extremely angry and extremely aggressive. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. It's where we started. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Notice something right there. The helper had endured the first two attacks, and they had begun to build the wall. There was success taking place. There was help that was actually taking place. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Ooh, great indignation. May I move away from Scripture? The hair on their neck began to stand out. Their ears began to turn red. They were so angry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They went into a fit of rage that someone would defend the object of their evil. How dare they go build something with that which we have destroyed? They publicly talk or teach and express anger at those people. Folks, everybody look at me. You better be careful where you work. Listen to everybody express their anger to leadership where you work. When I worked in the work world, when somebody started getting aggressive and angry at the leadership of where I worked, do you know what I did? Turned around and walked away. Usually my first statement was, they pay your paycheck. If you're so good, go out and start your own company. Till then, shut up. Turn around, walk away. You say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, you don't. I did. It worked. Say, why? They know so much, but they've got to work for somebody else. It amazes me how the guy that can barely flip burgers or push the button on the French fryer at McDonald's, wait a minute, Burger King, the guy that barely can make minimum wage and doesn't earn it, he just makes it. He knows better how to run the McDonald's Corporation or Wendy's or Burger King than the people that own it. Oh, that's not fair. It's amazing to me that the guy that mops the floor at Walmart has the right to demand $15 an hour from Walmart because he's worth it. Hello. What right do you have to demand anything of anybody? Why don't you learn all you can and earn your right and move your way up the ladder of leadership and earn the right to make those decisions? If you're just cleaning toilets, you have no right to make administrative decisions. You have the right to clean the toilet. Sorry. Now, I can translate that where you live. That 14-year-old that thinks they know everything shouldn't tell mom and dad how to run the house. They've never run a hot dog stand. How could they run a home? It amazes me how that we can elect somebody to an office that hadn't run a popsicle stand, and they can handle trillions of dollars in our government. By the time we start electing people that have done something other than politic. Okay, got that off my chest. The evil people, they get so angry, they start warning everybody about how bad these people are that help the one that they have attacked. Anybody contrary to them is bad, bad, bad. Folks, listen to this statement very carefully. I hate what the Sodomites stand for, but I don't hate the Sodomites. I'll win them to Christ. I hate the alcohol crowd, but I'll go win the drunkard. Say, why? I don't hate them. I hate what it's doing to them. See, that's what they don't understand. I talked to someone this week. They said, well, I was going to a church, nothing but a bunch of sinners there. I looked at him very kindly and said, guess what? They're no worse than you are. Because my Bible says we're all sinners. I looked at him and said, I've been a preacher for a long time. Guess what? You come to my church, it's going to be led by a sinner. They didn't know where to go with that one. I said, and I won't ask you to kiss my ring, kiss my toe, or do anything like that. I said, because he's as much of a sinner as I am, if not more. Because I'm not playing God. Ooh. The enemy lives in a state of condemnation. And they live in a state of intimidation and fear. They try to inflict fear on everybody that steps out of line of what they want. Folks, it doesn't matter what I want. What does God want? I'm not asking you to do it my way. Let's do it God's way. I sat there yesterday at the table with Brother Jimmy and those two folks that needed saved. I said, That gospel tract right there represents my church and what it teaches. And this word is God's word, and it is. I said, who cares what the church says? Let's just take God at face value. Amen. That man looked at me and said, "Ooh, never heard that before." I said, that's how much I believe that book right there. I said, if my church goes against that book, I'm going with that book. I don't care. Is it no wonder tears began to drip down his face when he understood the truth? Say why? The enemy tries to discredit everybody, and if you don't follow their way, you're bad, you're evil, you're wicked. Oh, if you don't love the Sodomites and love, you're against gay marriage, then you're a bad person. My Bible says he created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. My God says that sodomy is sin. So is drunkenness. So is legalized marijuana, even if it is for medicinal purposes. It's wrong. The rage of the enemy consumes the enemy. They begin to be consumed by their own rage. You look at that person that you work with that is totally angry with where you work. Their rage controls them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I talked to a person this week who had gone through a divorce in their life. And I shared these steps with that person. And I said, there was a point in time where the person that was violating you got so controlled by their rage. And I watched that person just go like this. Yeah. It's predictable. They get controlled by rage. Listen to this statement. They're the kind of people that assume when everybody is talking and they can't hear them, that they're talking about wrong or about the defender. That's why they run up and say, what are you talking about? You better not be talking about thus and so. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're always suspect of you. Say why? Because they've got to defend their position. Let right defend itself. Number four. They begin to fight in every way, the one helping the one they attacked. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7. Not only do they attack someone, now they start attacking the helper of the one they attacked. Look at verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. Watch this. And conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Wow. Now they start rallying other forces together to fight with them, to fight the ones that were helping the original enemy. Let me break it down where you live. That's when they start threatening lawsuits. Well, if you don't change your ways, we're going to sue you. You know how many times I've been threatened with being sued? Our church is a year and a half old. I've been threatened with two lawsuits already. Say, did you tell the deacons? Didn't need to. I wasn't worried about it. They're just blowing smoke, trying to make me afraid. I've got three men in here that have been threatened to be sued by where they worked in the last year and a half. Say why? Because they took a stand. Everybody doing okay? They begin to bring others into the battle. They start trying to find... And pardon me for saying it this way, but they start trying to find prominent people to bring in on their side. They want to show themselves as successful. Gag. Gag. Folks, you stand for that. You don't need anybody else. I don't need to call the reinforcements. I just stand for truth. I really don't. You say, well, what does so-and-so? I don't know. Didn't ask them, didn't call them. Just stand for truth. Just stand for right. They do all they can to discredit the one who has helped the one they attacked originally. If you're going to stand for right where you work, count on it. Somebody's going to try to discredit you. Guarantee it. If you've gone through a divorce, the attacker always tries to discredit you. That's why there's always a battle over the children. Say why? Because one's trying to discredit the other. Man, is it getting quiet in here. Let me review and I'll hit the last point. Number one, when someone comes to help the one attacked by the enemy gets mad. Number two, the enemy then tries to shake the will of the helper. Number three, if the helper is able to endure the initial attack, the enemy gets extremely angered and extremely hot. Number four, they begin to fight in every way, the one helping the one who attacked them. And number five, don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. Number five, if all of the four previous steps fail, the enemy will try to make an alliance with the helper of the one they attacked. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6. Now, verse number 1, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Folks, listen to me very carefully. If you are able to endure the first four steps, your enemy then comes to you and says, well, I'm done attacking. Let's get together. I hate to tell you something, but somebody who is evil, who is attacked, never stops attacking. They act like everything's okay. Well, that battle's over, so why don't you come join us now? We're no longer going to fight them. Their character reveals otherwise. Let's get together. By the way, listen to this statement. They do it, so if A, you do get back together with them, they destroy you. They do it so that if you don't get back together with them, well, we tried and they're unreasonable. They don't want to be nice to us. Folks, I don't want to be allied with evil people. Listen to this statement. I am not against the Muslim people. But I am not for the Muslim religion. I'm not against Catholic people. They can get saved just like Baptist people can get saved. But I'm against their doctrine. You know, I'm not against rich people. I'm not even against people that make their money in a bad way. I just want them to do it the right way. You have a government that tells you, well, if somebody has something you want and you don't have, then they're bad and you deserve what they have. That's an evil doctrine. Well, the Constitution says that we're all created equal. Yes, created equal. It does not say that we're all socially or economically equal. Everybody doing okay? FDR is the one that said we have no true equality till we have economic equality, and he was a communist. New Deal got thrown out of the Supreme Court 4 times as being unconstitutional. He got so enraged after the fourth time that he petitioned Congress to appoint a Supreme Court justice for every justice over the age of 70 and increase the Supreme Court to 13 members so he could pass the New Deal. Had not one of the Supreme Court justices retired, it would not have even passed, just so you know. Take the New Deal and compare it to the Communist Manifesto. 8 of the 10 points are word for word identical on both documents. Well, let's get together. Let's have a meeting. Folks, I am so sick and tired of our government going around with evil governments, meeting with them to join forces with one another. It makes me want to puke. Well, let's lift the sanctions on Iran. Maybe if we do, they'll not be bad people. Their doctrine is evil. They're going to do evil. After they have beaten up their initial a person they wanted to attack, they want to come to you and say, "We're done fighting." And we're the same people we were before we started fighting that enemy. I hate to tell you something. They're right. They're still evil. By the way, if you don't join them, then they attack you for not joining them. I don't have one drop of martyr blood in me. Somebody comes through that door with a gun shooting at me, I'm ducking. Okay? I'm kind of like Brother Hiles. He said Brother Roloff wanted to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs and he wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Record. I agree with that statement. I'll let Brother Smith take the bullet, but I'm dodging behind this pulpit, amen? That's okay. He'll be hiding behind me. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I'm not a martyr, but I've watched enough people fight. Okay, let me put it this way. If you got into an aquarium that had sharks in it and one bit your arm off, and they pulled you out of the water and put a tourniquet around your arm, you'd be foolish to get back in that water. Why do you want to jump back into a shark tank? Especially the same one you just jumped out of without an arm. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They got a taste of blood. They're not going to be nice just because they were nice before. They revealed their evil. Again, I have no situation in particular. I can look across this crowd and tell you situation after situation in so many different areas of life that are identical to this. I mean identical, point by point. Every one of them. Can I tell you something? The devil is not as smart as you give him credit for. He's not. He uses the same procedures today. He's been using them for 6,000 years. Trouble is, we let our sin, we let our pride, we let our selfishness get in the way, and we think we know more than God. Some of you are at point number one, some at point number two, some at number three, some at number four. Many of you have made it all the way to point number five. Can I tell you something? That's the most dangerous point. When they start wanting to get back together with you. My Bible says don't be a companion with an evil person. It doesn't say a spiritually evil. It says an evil person. I've watched a lot of good people fooled by evil. I've watched a lot of people even change what they believe about the Bible and about God because they followed evil people. They made it all the way through four of the five steps, but when step five came, they changed. I've watched it. I've watched preachers I used to listen to and preach with who now I would not ever recommend because they joined with evil people and now preach against what they preached for. I've watched it. My son. Both of my boys texted me this week. They have at their church and their college this weekend an old man preaching. Dr. Lewis Arnold turned 100 years old this weekend. I watched Dr. Arnold preach in my home church 30 years ago, and he was an old man then. He is 100 years old and still preaching. Turned 100 this weekend, and he's preaching. My boys were going crazy. I said, Josh, go up and tell him who your dad is and what church I was at in Canton, Ohio, how many years ago. And he said, Daddy remembered the church. He doesn't remember you, but he remembers the church. I said, yeah, and he was an old man then. 100 years old. This is what my son Josh texted me. He said, Dad, he still got it. He said, he's the real deal. I said, yeah, because he didn't align with evil people. I watched Dr. Arnold be attacked for a long time. Huh. Can I tell you something? The devil's so good, people are confused by religion. He brings people in to say, you have to be baptized to go to heaven. That's wrong doctrine. It's evil and it's wrong. Sending people to hell. You have to live a good life before you can go to heaven. That's evil doctrine. It's wrong and it'll send people to hell. You have to have a priest absolve your sins or you'll die and go to hell. That's evil doctrine and it's wrong. And for some reason, when a man of God gets up and says that, well, I don't think you ought to call names of religions like that. Why? It's wrong. That's why I won't be part of a ministerial association. Say why? Am I going to sit shoulder to shoulder with people that are destroying people, destroying their eternities, denying the virgin birth, the death, the burial, resurrection, and the blood of Christ, and redemption God's way? They don't even believe that book is the Word of God. They got to meet every 3 to 5 years and decide what their church doctrine is. It was decided before man was created. You don't have to decide it. It's already been decided. Well, you're just uncooperative. You're right. Say all you want. Let me ask you a question. Why do we care what evil people think? You just want to be liked? That's selfish. That's pride. I'd rather get to heaven and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I care what God says. Hey, where you work? I know you got to work around people. But be careful around those evil ones. Your relationships, be careful of evil people. Be careful of trying to realign with them after they have been evil. Because they will destroy you. They mean it to do mischief and more evil. They're not spiritual. Till they walk that aisle, get right with God, and show you a pattern that has changed, they're still evil. Trust me. Say, well, how do I know? Let me check them out, I'll tell you. Huh. It's amazing. Our government has enough sense to teach our special forces those five steps. In predicting what the enemy will do. Every enemy does it. They'll go through all five steps, some faster than others. Sometimes they'll even flip-flop some of what they do, but all five steps are involved. Every time. And may I say this, the father of all that is the devil. He is your real enemy. Not somebody with skin, not some government, not some corporation, not some group. It is the devil. Period. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Or have you believed the evil lies of religion? Let me ask you a question. Who are you aligned with? That book or evil people? Are you about to make a mistake and realign with evil people? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The devil is the real enemy. The devil is the one to whom all evil comes from. And that's what you must realize.